spokesman said that Israeli forces continue to target Hezbollah posts in or near villages in South Lebanon and urged people not to return to their homes. Over the Yom Kippur 25-hour holiday, Hezbollah fired more than 300 rockets, sending Israelis to shelters. A drone hit an old age home in central Israel, but there were no casualties.
A new report on the health of Vice President Kamala Harris, CBS's Linda Kenyon reports.
Dr. Joshua Simmons says Harris is in excellent health and, quote, possesses the physical and mental resiliency required to successfully execute the duties of the presidency. The report says her blood work and several other tests were unremarkable and that she suffers only from seasonal allergies and hives.
Harris heads to North Carolina tonight for a rally tomorrow. Republican presidential nominee Donald Trump is campaigning in Nevada, where he claimed this about the Democrats.
They want to do things like no more cows and no windows in buildings. They have some wonderful plans for this country. Honestly, they're crazy, and they're really hurting our country badly.
Boeing workers are waiting to find out details about the company's layoff plans. In a letter to employees, CEO Kelly Ortberg says Boeing will lay off 10% of its workforce in the coming months. An accident at New Mexico's Balloon Fiesta in Albuquerque. CBS's Errol Barnett explains.
One balloon collided with a radio tower, which then toppled over. Three people were on that balloon. They landed safely after this happened. No one was hurt on the ground either, thankfully. But that very same radio tower was hit during the balloon festival 20 years ago.
Game 5 of the American League Division Series between the Detroit Tigers and the Cleveland Guardians is over. The Guardians win it 7-3. Cleveland faces off against the New York Yankees in the American League Championship Series next. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Congresswoman Summer Lee.
The American Stability Act doesn't just address the need for raising of the wage. The second thing is that tax reform piece, shifting the burden from the folks who are working class to the not just the 1%, the 0.01% of people who have seen so many benefits in this rigged system, and we have to start to unrig it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local civic media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Join us live every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 5 to 6 p.m. for Playmakers, brought to you by Quality Plus Printing. Call in with your sports thoughts and feelings only on WFHR.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Native American tribes in Wisconsin are bringing back the traditional wild rice harvest. Mike Moan reports.
Closely intertwined with indigenous culture and identity, this important resource was decimated after the arrival of European settlers. But today, many partners are supporting initiatives to restore wild rice beds. Joe Gravine leads such efforts for the Lac du Flambeau Band of Lake Superior Chippewa Indians in northern Wisconsin. He says as their work began to produce positive results, it was a joy to see excitement among fellow harvesters.
You're going to see that abundance of rice that hasn't been there for 20 years. That smile on her face, the energy that they give off.
Over the past couple of centuries, activities like indiscriminate logging, dam building, and mining played a role in wiping out the presence of wild rice. Despite the recent revival, new threats like climate change have emerged that could affect the plant's future. That's prompted calls for more research and funding to build on recent success stories. Gravine suggests they're at a crucial point in scaling up harvesting, noting that inconsistent weather patterns complicate the management plans.
You know, we're getting a major storm, rainstorms, whatever, you know, right when the rice is ripe.
In some cases, teams are combining emerging data with cultural instincts to monitor growing trends and get a sense of how future seasons will play out. Many partners are supporting the restoration work, including state, federal, and intertribal agencies, universities, and non-government organizations. This is Mike Moen for Wisconsin News Connection. This story was produced with original reporting from Swarthy Rahman for Mongabay.
This is Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly cloudy and cooler tonight into tomorrow. Maybe a passing shower. Morning low in the low 40s. Afternoon high, only low 50s and breezy. Some frost possible in spots Monday and Tuesday mornings as lows drop into the 30s. Highs stay in the 50s. It's 55 right now.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we're going to talk to Kelly Robinson from the Human Rights Campaign. Hour number two, donating blood, more important than ever. We're going to talk diversity. I hope you'll join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10. Locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
From the rolling bluffs of the Driftless region to the pristine shorelines of Superior in Michigan, from the Northwoods to the Kettle Moraine, Civic Media broadcasts across all of Wisconsin. For all of Wisconsin. Take a trip with us across the radio network to hear from communities throughout the state. This is the Civic Media Spotlight.
Welcome in to Hour 2 of the Civic Media Spotlight. Chad Holmes is up first, and this week on his show, the big topic was the Wausau ballot drop box. After its illegal removal by Mayor Doug Dinney, the box returned, and Chad discussed the situation with guest Nancy Stensel.
Good morning! It is Tuesday, the first day of October 2024. The time is 8:07, another very pleasant start in North Central Wisconsin at our 98.9 WXCO studios. A lot of sunshine, a lot of blue skies, a little bit cooler to start things off. Temperature of 49 degrees. I am Chad Holmes. It is the Chad Holmes Show on 98.9 WXCO. Online at bowfallsradio.com, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. It does look as though that the Facebook stream after a couple of days is back, working very nicely. And if you'd like to see a video stream of what we're doing, you can go to facebook.com, go to the 98.9 WXCO page, click on that, and then be able to see us, be able to add your comments to the Facebook page as well that we will see. If you would like to call or text us, you can do that as well. The best way is through the Civic Media app. Just download the free Civic Media app and then be able to open up the 98.9 WXCO portion of the app and be able to hit the button to either call or text us. Or you can just dial us up, and the number is the same whether you want to call us or text us, 715-382-9297. That's 715-382-9297 to join us with your questions, your comments. If there's something we should be talking about, do it. 715-382-9297. Coming up this morning on the program at 8:20, we'll be talking to meteorologist Brittany Merlot. She'll let us know about the weather. And again, it's not going to be as warm. I mean, we were seeing temperatures knocking on the door of records for recent weeks. Things have cooled down just a little bit here to start things off, but still just an outstanding morning, a very pleasant morning. So we have to wear a jacket. So be it. It's still beautiful out there. And maybe it's not going to be quite as warm, but it does look like it's going to stay dry, and there's still going to be plenty of opportunities to enjoy what's happening outside. And we'll get all the details as we get closer to the middle portion of the work week with Brittany Merlot coming up at 8:20. Then at 8:35. This morning, we'll be joined by North Central Wisconsin Labor Council Vice President Nancy Stensel, as she was one of the signatories on a release yesterday discussing the issue of the drop boxes that were removed by Mayor Doug Dinney 9 days ago. Yesterday, the box was returned and is back out front of City Hall. But even with that development, Nancy Stensel, along with a number of others, sent out a release talking about their viewpoint on what happened, what needs to be happening as well. And we'll talk to her about that coming up at 8:35 this morning. And then at 9:35 this morning, going to be talking to a woman named Jacqueline von Edelberg. It's very interesting. On Friday afternoon, I was about to head out to cover high school football, but the doorbell rang, and I went over there, and it was Jacqueline von Edelberg, and she says wanted to explain what she was doing here in Wausau. She was going to be over at the event that we talked about last week with the Minocqua Brewing Company's Kirk Bankstead had a Get Out the Vote event at Sylvan Hill on Friday of last week. Well, Jacqueline von Edelberg is from Illinois, and she said, come on out and I'll show you something. She showed me this van, pink van, and it's a Get Out the Vote van. And she is part of a coalition of women's groups that are going around for a big Get Out the Vote campaign for the November election. So we're going to talk at 9:35 to a Jacqueline von Edelberg about these groups that have got together, talk about that very interesting pink van that she showed off to me here in Wausau on Friday, and talk about some of the areas she's going to and the groups are going to and what the point is of this big effort made by multiple women's groups. So that's Jacqueline von Edelberg coming up at 9:35 this morning here on the program. Before we go any further, need to say good morning to our in-studio engineer, our in-studio producer, Ian Welsh. Ian, good morning.
Good morning, Chad.
I think I want to start off this morning talking about the big news that came after we were off the air yesterday, that the Wausau absentee ballot box removed a week ago Sunday by Mayor Doug Dinney was put back out front of City Hall. But the issues continue, the discussions continued, and we're going to hear more about it, as I said, with Nancy Stensel coming up. But I mentioned just in the last 20 minutes, I did my weekly shot on the Pat Kreitlow's Up North News program, and the idea that people like Republican Party of Marathon County Chairman Kevin Hermanine, who sent a letter to the city clerk, the Wausau clerk, Caitlin Bernardi, urging her to delay opening the box. Hermanine, who tends to go way out there as part of a right-wing mega coalition, says it was unconscionable that the locked ballot box was outside City Hall without being secured to the ground, allowing anyone to tamper with it. And other Republicans and MAGAs are still trying to find fine print with the Wisconsin State Supreme Court decision that basically says that, again, the city clerk is the one that decides on the drop boxes, not the mayor, not anybody else. But you have folks like Herman, and you have folks like WSAU's Chris Conley, again, who I just was rereading his editorial, his commentary yesterday. And one thing that he needs to realize and others need to realize, he tries to basically say this is all about those liberals, that basically this is a ginned up charge, this is this is just basically a big red herring in order to try to get Doug Dinney out of office. Mr. Conley and others like him need to realize that this issue did not come up because liberals made it up. This issue came up because the mayor of Wausau, on a weekend, on a non-business day, put on the old hard hat, went on a Sunday to City Hall, got out the dolly, and removed the official absentee ballot drop box and moved it into his office. It was not liberals who told the mayor, hey, mayor, go out there and remove that box. That would give us a great issue to gin up to try to remove you from office. So everything that Conley talks about is, again, false. And, again, that really is not a surprise because most of what Conley says gets skewed to the mega far-right Republican point of view. So, again, and basically says that any investigation by the Marathon County District Attorney's Office will be partisan because he says they're filled with partisan Democrats. So basically, when I read that, does that mean that when a Republican or a conservative does something in Marathon County, they can't be investigated? Charges cannot be filed against them because, according to Conley and those like him, that the DA's office in Marathon County is filled with partisan Democrats? Is this a get-out-of-jail-free card? Something that he knows a thing or two about. I don't understand the idea that somehow this is an issue ginned up by Democrats. That is baloney. This is something that came up because the mayor of Wausau decided that he was going to make this an issue. The mayor of Wausau decided after his discussions with the city clerk, where he did not get his way, that no was not going to be acceptable as an answer. So he decided to move it. And basically, my theory, and again, I'm not a lawyer. I'm not somebody that has studied the law and understands everything. But my theory is the reason that that Dropbox is back out there yesterday is because over the days, the mayor talked to lawyers, talked to other allies, and found out, hey, you don't have a leg to stand on right now. You better get that box back out there before more damage is done and more opportunity is given for you to get into trouble.
It seems like a reasonable observation.
Because if he really thought he was in the right, then he would not have returned the ballot box to where it is. He found out, no, I guess maybe I don't have a leg to stand on in this situation. So, again, we're going to find out where we stand with this issue. What are the next steps? Is this truly the liberals going after Mayor Doug Dinney to drive him from office? We'll find out from one of the signatories, again, on a statement that was released yesterday. We're going to talk to Nancy Stensel about this coming up again. This story is not done yet. And again, this is just plain politics. And again, when you see what Hermione says, when you see what other prominent conservatives say, again, they want to make sure it's as difficult as possible to vote. And one of the statements that was made by the mayor is that we have enough ways to vote. We have a lot of ways to vote. It's not also his position to decide, hey, there's enough ways to vote. That, hey, okay, we've reached a certain level. All right, we officially have enough ways to vote. No, that's the city clerk's job in this case. So, again, it's going to be a story to keep an eye on as we are down to what are we down to? 5 weeks to go for Election Day. Yep, we are 35 days away from Election Day here in the United States of America. And I think we're all looking forward to getting to that point so the commercials can go away, but
yes,
it's not going to slow down. It's actually going to get worse, I think, in the next 35 days when it comes to the commercials.
Oh, yeah, it's going to be a political ads every 30 seconds on TV and online as well. But I agree that the mayor made a choice, and he didn't consider the repercussions of what he did. You know, he thought it wasn't going to be a big deal. Again, I could be wrong.
And one other thing, real quickly, before we have to go away for a quick timeout, is that in this commentary that Conley makes again, we've seen conservatives continually chip away at trust when it comes to elections. And when he says something like, well, there's a bunch of partisan Democrats in the DA's office, he's trying to chip away at trust in the criminal justice system. And again, I find it hard to take seriously somebody that's been knee-deep into the criminal justice system twice in the last year, making comments that maybe he thinks that maybe... Does he think that he was arrested twice because of a liberal conspiracy in the criminal justice system? I don't know. But again, you're chipping away at the trust, first of the elections, and now the criminal justice system, and that is wrong. Coming up, we're going to talk about the weather. We're going to talk to meteorologist Brittany Merlot, and then we'll have Nancy Stensel coming up after that at 8:34. The time is 8:19, 98.9 WXCO.
The Chad Holmes Show is part of the Civic Media Radio Network and airs on WXCO weekday mornings from 8 until 10. To learn more about this show and all of the Civic Media programming, check out the website at civicmedia.us/shows.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for Up North News Radio.
This is an important announcement for Wisconsinites who plan to vote in the November 2024 election. Leading nonpartisan economists have analyzed the economic plans of Donald Trump and concluded that he would cause inflation to rise and the economy to slow. And 16 Nobel Prize-winning economists wrote a letter warning that Donald Trump would reignite inflation with his fiscally irresponsible budgets. Donald Trump's tariff plan would act as a national sales tax, costing the average family as much as $4,000 per year. But Vice President
President Kamala Harris's plan would help middle-class families deal with rising costs. In her first 100 days, Kamala Harris would pass a ban on price gouging at the grocery store. And as vice president, she worked to cap the cost of many prescription drugs, including insulin, saving many families thousands of dollars per year. On the economy, the choice is clear. Vote Kamala Harris for president. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together Action. www.abwt-action.org. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids' home of Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Next up on the Civic Media Spotlight for this week, we'll go to the Maggie Dawn Show. Maggie talked with the youngest living player to run the bases with the Negro Leagues, Dennis Biddle. Mr. Biddle shares some of his impactful experiences on the diamond and in his life since. He started yesterday's Negro League Baseball Players Foundation in 1996 to support players and their legacies.
Get pumped up, Wisconsin. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. It's my privilege and honor. I'm so excited to be joined today in honor of the MLB playoffs and the inclusion of Negro League statistics finally in Major League Baseball statistics by the youngest living player of the Negro Leagues. He is 89 years young, folks. His name is Dennis Boz Biddle, and he almost did not play in the Negro Leagues. Mr. Biddle, when we were talking last, you left off with you were about ready to head off to play football on a full ride scholarship at Grambling State. And you got a phone call from the Chicago American Giants, one of the Negro League teams, and they wanted you to come up and try out, sir. What happened next?
I really didn't understand trout if I was on the team. I wanted to play baseball, and I went to Chicago, and I tried out for the team. I thought I was on the team. I tried out and I made the team. So I joined the Giants in 1953 as a Negro League ball player. I signed
and
a
you
contract.
Were, and you were how old, sir, when you started playing Major League Baseball for the Negro Leagues?
I was 17 years old. I was I had just graduated from high school, and 2 weeks later, I was playing my first professional baseball game in Memphis, Tennessee. I was with the Chicago American Giants.
That is incredible. And you played two seasons with the Chicago American Giants, and then Major League Baseball called. Not the Negro Leagues, but the MLB, did they not, sir?
Well, see, man, in my book, I tell about how that transpired because major leagues they didn't scout us, and I was on the major league Negro League team after Jackie Robinson became a training ground for the major leagues. And people don't know this, but Bryce Rickey's long range goal was to use the Negro League as a minor league system. They don't write about it much because a lot of our history was not written down. A lot of the stats you talked about was not written down also because the Negro League team could not hire a statistician to travel with the team. The players themselves kept a lot of their own records. In my book, Secrets of the Negro Baseball League, there's a way thing was happening back then because if a major league team were interested in a player that was on a Negro League team, they had to purchase his contract from the team he was on. The team he was on would get enough money from the major league to pay those older guys that were training us to keep the league going. This is what's hidden. This is something that's not written down about what happened in the Negro League, and this was after Jackie Robinson. And I sum it up by saying very little was written down about the Negro League from 1953 1949 to 1963.
That is how Major League Baseball used the Negro League, sir, as you were saying, as sort of a minor league, a farm league, if you will, for MLB. And yet it sounds like, you know, this was a relationship that was very asymmetrical in economic power and who got to call the shots. And sir, you got to the first day of spring training for the Chicago Cubs and the unthinkable happened.
Right. I broke my ankle in two places. But what I really want to say, that ended my really major league career, but I felt I could still run as fast as I ever did, but my ankle never healed. It was broken in two places. But what people don't know, Meg, is that players like Hank Aaron, Ernie Banks, Willie Mays, all was just like I was. They had that long binding contract from the Negro League team they was on, and the Major League team that was interested had to purchase their contract. It's in my book, Secrets of the Negro Baseball League, because they didn't write about that. They didn't know what was happening back then. The Negro team was getting the players ready for the Major League because that was a money-making industry for the team at that time. It didn't last for about four or five years, but it ended up that way, yes.
Folks, you can find that book by Mr. Biddle at DennisBiddle.com. He also runs and he is the president of Yesterday's Negro Baseball Players Foundation. And do you still have that store in Mayfair Mall? I remember seeing the store that I believe you've run for years with your wife, Patrice, in Mayfair, where you've got some of your memorabilia, your book, and you share some of your recollections of your time in both the Negro League and Major League Baseball.
Yeah, thank you. We do still have the store. Right now, it's not open. It will be open the 1st of November. It's called Legacy Sportswear. It's at Mayfair Mall. We moved to a different location, and that's why the store is not open at this time. So, it will be open November the 1st.
Yeah, check it out in Mayfair Mall. Again, folks, I'm talking with Dennis Biddle, the youngest living player of the Negro Leagues, in honor of MLB playoffs, game two of the wild card, Brewers and New York Mets meeting this evening. I'm going with my pops. Mr. Biddle, my dad was a pitcher as well. Never made it to any of the leagues. But I did want to ask you, sir, because I heard that you are the man who beat the man who beat the man. And yeah, we're going to have to take a couple messages, but can you stick around for a little bit more? Because I want everybody to know you are the man who beat the man who beat the man when it comes to pitchers. And I want you to tell that story. Do you have a few more minutes for us, sir?
Yes, I do. I'll be glad.
Wonderful. You're not going to want to miss it. Again, talking with Mr. Dennis Biddle, the president of Yesterday's Negro Baseball Players Foundation, the youngest living player of the Negro Leagues at a very young 89 years old. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Keep it locked. More to come, including a discussion with Sarah Spain, the strategic communications director of Emily's List. We're going to talk about that debate when we come back.
The Maggie Dawn Show is part of the Civic Media Radio Network and airs across the network weekday afternoons from 2 until 4. To learn more about this show and all of Civic Media's programming, check out the website at civicmedia.us/shows. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
CBS News Brief. The waters have yet to recede in parts of Florida following Hurricane Milton, Hillsborough County Sheriff Chad Cronister.
These individuals went to bed at night thinking they might see a little bit of water. Some of them woke up laying in water.
His deputies have conducted over 300 rescues in the past 48 hours. A letter from her doctor today says Vice President Kamala Harris is in excellent health, CBS's Linda Kenyon.
In releasing the report, the Harris campaign hopes to draw contrast between the 59-year-old vice president's health and mental acuity with that of her 78-year-old opponent, former President Donald Trump.
They are cheering in Cleveland. The Guardians defeated the Detroit Tigers in Game 5 of the American League Division Series, final score 7-3. Cleveland takes on the New York Yankees in the American League Championship Series. CBS News Brief, I'm Heather Bosch.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us.
On the Badger Sports Network from Learfield, this is your radio home for Wisconsin Badger hockey.
We got something going here in Madison. Power play goal, Simon Tassie. 2-1 Wisconsin. Stops one and another again to his left. He scores. Oh, he ripped that one over the glove hand. William Grandma, like an octopus in a broom closet.
We are America's college hockey capital.
The relentless resilient.
Badger Hockey is brought to you by American Family Insurance. Insure carefully. Dream fearlessly. And by Alliant Energy. Alliant Energy is powering beyond for you. Welcome to the Badger Pregame Show.
Good evening, hockey fans, from Bob Johnson Rink inside the Kohl Center in Madison. After losing the season opener last night 4-2, the Badgers try to even their record and earn a split against the Lindenwood Lions. Jackson Lunsford is our producer at our Learfield studios in Jefferson City, Missouri. To my right, former Badgers assistant coach and defenseman Ian Perrin. I'm Brian Posick. Well, Wisconsin did fall last night to Lindenwood 4-2. The Lions earned their first ever victory against a nationally ranked team. They had been 0-20-2 in their first 3 years of Division I existence. And Lindenwood also beat a Big Ten team for the first time in 15 tries. Previously, 0-12-2. Ian, give Lindenwood credit. They outscored the Badgers in the opening period 2-1, then 1-0 in the second. Badgers pulled within one in the third period, but a goal by defenseman Artem Borshov at 16:37 basically put the final nail in the coffin in that 4-2 victory. And Mike Hastings upset afterwards, as you might imagine, hoping for a better effort tonight from his club.
Well, that's going to be the key to their success here in the second half. Pick up the intensity, be more consistent, win every one-on-one battle, because as we talked about at the end of the first, end of the second, and at the end of the game, one-on-one, Lindenwood was by far the better team, never strayed from their objectives at any point in time. And when they got their opportunities, they scored. I can't say that Bucky did that. When they had opportunities, they didn't score, mainly because there was a five-man defensive wall standing in front of them pretty much all the time. But you're right. I mean, he had a right to be upset, and I see he's made some lineup juggles, so to speak. But I don't think that anything will be changed significantly for Lindenwood.
No. In fact, their head coach, Bill McColt, wins his first game as the Lions head coach. He thought Wisconsin played well last night. You'll hear what Mike Hastings has to think when we come back. Plus, we will tell you, before we get to our coach's interview, William Grandma, the sophomore from Sweden, will start in goal tonight after Tommy Scarfoni gave up 4 goals on 19 shots last evening. I'll tell you what's going on in Big Ten hockey as well. The puck drops here just after 6 o'clock. Glad you could join us. More coming up. This is Wisconsin Badger Hockey from Learfield.
The excitement.
Oh, he stones Brodzinski with a glove save.
The energy.
What's he going to do? He shoots and he scores.
The tradition.
You've got to understand history if you're ever going to write your own.
It's everything.
He scores. Badgers answer right back.
This is your radio home for Wisconsin Badger hockey.
Sponsored by Johnson & Sons Chrysler Jeep, Econ Electric, and 8th Street Auto. Listen on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, streaming live and on the Civic Media app.
As the temperatures drop and the mornings get foggy, the team at 8th Street Auto wants to remind you that they're here for all of your weatherization needs. This is the time of year when checking your light bulbs, tires, brakes, and windshield wipers is very important. Make an appointment today with an educated team that will keep you safe on the roads this fall and winter season. Find them at 4390 8th Street South, Wisconsin Rapids. 8th Street Auto and Service Center, here for all your weatherization needs.
Wisconsin traditions have been built for years around the Badgers, game day, and the mascot. But lead miners are the original Badgers in the state, not the animal or the mascot. It was the 1820s, and the miners often didn't have shelter in the winters, so they lived like Badgers by digging tunnels into the hillsides to stay warm and sleep where they worked. It led to the reason why today you really can't think of Wisconsin without thinking Badgers. For Civic Media, I'm Terry Barr.
Join our advertising family on WFHR and WIRI and see how radio can help improve awareness, revenue, and staffing for your business. I'm Ashley, and it's my mission to help our area businesses thrive. Call me today, 715-496-0710.
Join James and Southwood County Humane Society for Pet of the Week on Thursdays at 9 a.m. Stay up to date on needs, events, and available pets. Over 100 pets have been adopted thanks to area sponsors. To learn how to help, call Ashley at 715-496-0710.
There are so many traditions built around the Wisconsin Badgers, game day, and the mascot, which in 1889 was a real badger. It didn't go well. Eventually, the animal was replaced by a person. An on-campus contest chose the official mascot name, Buckingham U. Badger. Still, Wisconsin's official animal is a badger. But do you know which animal almost earned this title instead? Gray squirrel? White-tailed deer? Black bear? The answer is coming up. The original badger's nickname is actually associated with lead miners in the state, not the animals. It was the 1820s, and the miners often didn't have shelter in the winters, so they lived like badgers, digging tunnels into the hillsides where they worked. So was there almost another state animal? Yes, the white-tailed deer, which later became the official wildlife animal. But the history surrounding the badgers is a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
We're at the Kohl Center in Madison, series finale to start the season. It's Wisconsin and Lindenwood, the Lions last night, a 4-2 victory in the season opener here in Madison, joined by head coach Mike Hastings. And Mike, I know that was a tough one to take last night. And, you know, I'm just a broadcaster and I couldn't fall asleep. I don't know what it was like for the head coach.
Yeah, those, as I said in the presser, it's those stick, they hurt. You know, and as a coach and a coaching staff, and same thing you ask your players is look in a mirror, identify what you did well and what you didn't do well. And last night we didn't do enough. And so as a group, we have to be a lot better. And it really starts with we got to have our horses run. I really like some things that I saw from some newbies and freshman Gavin Morrissey, I thought, you know, really played well. I thought Logan Henstel showed well. We're going to need a little bit better effort between the posts, but we have to give that individual a little bit more support offensively also. So there's a lot of things just in that comment, and so we get to tee it up tonight and get right back after it, what you want to do.
Yeah, you pointed out, Gavin, last night, along with Kyle Kukkonen and Rylan Mosley, they played together, accounted for 2 goals and 4 points. What did they do well that maybe some others did not?
Hungry, hard. Second and thirds, you look at where, you know, the goal that I think ends up being now given to Gavin. Cooks was standing right in the paint on the power play. Then we have Schultz get up and go to the post as one of our defensemen on a rush. Seven makes a great play back to Mosley, and he buries it. I think Mosley had 8 shots on net. We had a line that, you know, we had some veterans that, between all three of them, we didn't have any. And so we need, you know, too many passengers last night. And, you know, hunger, I think, is something that, you know, you get fed if you go out and hunt and you do the work, you get fed. And if you don't, you can starve a little bit. And last night we starved with too many forwards. And again, Lindenwood came at you. They were pressuring on the forecheck. They pressured the puck, and at times it didn't seem like your club handled that very well.
Yeah, a couple of turnovers. We had some unforced errors through the neutral zone. You know, 2 points made before the game last night that obviously did not come to fruition. It was owned both fronts of the net. I thought they owned both fronts of the net. You know, they defended real hard, and on their third one, they had a guy standing on top of the paint and grabs a rebound and tucks it in. So, learning experience, and we have to move on.
The Badgers and the Lindenwood Lions. More with Mike Hastings coming up. This is Badger Hockey from Learfield.
Hi, Drew and Jonathan Scott here,
reminding you that a lot of life's firsts are better with help from American Family Insurance. Like your first home expansion or your first big lightning strike. There's a first for everything. Get the right home policy at the right price with the right help from American Families agents. Life's better when you're under American Families roof. Insure carefully, dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
Which schools will take home the prestigious Learfield Director's Cup as the top college athletic programs for the 2024-25 college athletic season? You can follow the standings of your favorite team or alma mater at L Director's Cup on Twitter and online at TheDirectorsCup.com. Trophies will be awarded in June 2025 to the winning institutions in all college sports divisions. Learfield Director's Cup, the crowning achievement in college athletics.
The big game, family, friends. We know you count on Alliant Energy to deliver the safe, reliable energy you need, whether you're watching the game, cooking your famous burger, or leaving a light on for loved ones. For us, it means going beyond the expected to make sure we're planning for the energy you need today and tomorrow. That way you can keep your eye on the ball and focus on what's most important to you. Find out more at AlliantEnergy.com/poweringbeyond.
Are you seeking a better career? Rail Transport offers truck drivers a variety of driving jobs earning top wages. No CDL? No problem. Get paid to get your CDL with Rail's on-the-job paid training program. We're also seeking top talent for driver and customer support positions. To see all the career opportunities at Rail and how you can take home more and be home more, visit rail.jobs. That's rail.jobs. Rail Transport is a proud sponsor of the Badgers.
Series finale here in just a little bit. Wisconsin and Lindenwood. Sophomore William Grandma is in goal tonight. Tommy Scarfone, the transfer from RIT, got the start last night. Mike Hastings, what did you think of Tommy's debut with the Badgers?
Well, I think, you know, Tommy's a guy, and you've met him and talked to him. He's a pretty realistic, foundation-based young man. I think he'd like to have better. You know, you look at the first one, we leave a guy wide open on the from the ladies' tees. I don't blame him on that one. You know, we had a breakdown from a penalty kill, and they throw it under the bar. So I don't blame Tommy on that one. I think he'd like the third one back. And, you know, like I said, it's a learning experience for him. He's coming from a different league, playing at this level, and he didn't have the night that he wanted, but it wasn't completely his fault. He had some others that weren't quite pulling their part. And so we're going to have to get off to a better start and give Grandma some support tonight.
When we saw William last year in only four games because Kyle McClellan was so good, William was good. And actually his last start came against Lindenwood last January. So he's a year older, a year wiser, I suppose. He still has that smile on his face all the time. He loves playing this.
Yeah, he's a guy you like running into the rink every day. One, just because of the foundation that him and his parents have, you know, fostered back at home, and just work ethic and appreciation. And he's really dialed in his nutrition to a point where he's at a completely different level this year than he was last year. I'm hoping that's going to serve him well throughout this season. And we need him to step up, because we need somebody to step into that role and say, hey, you know what, this net's mine.
And finally, you've shuffled your lines quite a bit. We're going to see Sawyer Scholl in the lineup for the first time this season. Adam Pietila will make his Wisconsin debut. None of the lines you had on the chart last night match up tonight, and you're just trying to find the right chemistry right now.
Yeah, you got to give opportunity. You know, that's from a coaching standpoint. you know, our positions to try and prepare him and then give him an opportunity. And, you know, Sawyer Scholl's a guy that works his tail off. I thought Adam Pietola had a decent game when he was in Omaha. And for what we did last night, or I should say what we didn't get done, to give some others an opportunity to be able to get in there and show themselves, I think they've earned that through what they've given up until this point.
Badgers hope to even their record against Lindenwood here tonight. That's Coach Mike Hastings. More of our pregame show coming up. This is Badger Hockey from Learfield.
Be prepared for the next power outage with a Generac home standby generator from Econ Electric. When the power goes out, your life can go on without interruption. For a limited time, purchase a qualifying Generac generator and receive a free 7-year warranty. That's a $735 value. Generac is here to protect against Wisconsin's unpredictable weather. Power up today with Econ Electric on Highway 54 in Wisconsin Rapids. Terms and conditions apply. See your Econ Electric technician today for more information.
Cranberry juice, cranberry wine, cranberry brats, cranberry cream puffs. And excuse me, but my cranberry bread is ready. It's cranberry season in Wisconsin, and we're the cranberry capital of not just the U.S., but our farmers also produce more than half of the world's cranberry supply. So can you guess which state Wisconsin beat out to earn the number one spot? New Jersey? Washington State? Massachusetts? The answer coming up. Fall is harvest time, and you can see the machines rolling through the marshlands, which are flooded to help the cranberries float to the top. But it hasn't always been this easy. Back in the mid-1800s, the berries had to be picked by hand. It took another 100 years for the right equipment to be built to help with this harvest. Okay, so Wisconsin owns the cranberry capital title, but which state lost it to us? Massachusetts, which has been number two ever since. By the way, the cranberry is the official state fruit, making it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network. When you think about early labor unions, do you think of Wisconsin? You should. The state's first labor union formed in Milwaukee in 1847 when the bricklayers organized, then the Carpenters Union in 1848. The National Labor Union didn't even form until 1866. A State Historical Society report shows Wisconsin's union members also pushed for workers' compensation and unemployment insurance legislation, becoming a model for other states. For Civic Media, I'm Terry Barr.
And the Ad Council.
Hi, I'm Ryan Blaney, a third-generation race car driver. And I dedicate a lot of my time going fast. But when my grandpa was diagnosed with Alzheimer's, it was a very unexpected bump in the road for us. It's important to notice if older family members are acting differently or having trouble with routine tasks. Early detection of Alzheimer's can give your family time to explore support services and access available treatments. If you or your family are noticing changes, it could be Alzheimer's. Talk about seeing a doctor together. Visit alz.org/time-to-talk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
Most of us like to be out in the sun. That's why sunscreen and other safety measures are key to protecting your skin from aging and cancer. The FDA recommends using a sunscreen with an SPF of 15 or higher. Also, look for broad spectrum on the label. That means both harmful ultraviolet A and B rays are blocked. Remember, SPF plus broad spectrum equal healthy fun in the sun. Visit www.fda.gov/sunscreen for more information. A message from the U.S. Food and Drug Administration.
Wisconsin and Lindenwood dropped the puck in about 15 minutes or so. The Lions were their most significant win as a Division I program last night, beating the Badgers' first win in 23 tries against a nationally ranked opponent. Lindenwood is in game two of a 10-game road trip to start the season. As an independent, Lindenwood does not play very often at the St. Louis Blues practice facility near St. Louis. After this weekend, the Lions go to Air Force for two games, go to Miami of Ohio for a pair, go out to Pittsburgh to play Robert Morris, and then play two at Denver. Their first home series is November 15th and 16th against the Ohio State Buckeyes. Badgers trying to get a series split, while elsewhere last night in college hockey, fourth-ranked Michigan State shut out at home by second-ranked Boston College 3-0. In the finale today at Munn Arena, former Badger Charlie Stramel scored his first goal as a Spartan, but Sparty trails BC 2-1 heading into period number two. Michigan, a 4-1 win at Arizona State last night behind a hat trick from Garrett Shifsky. The Wolverines and Sun Devils meet in about 15 minutes or so. Minnesota thumped Air Force 7-1 at the Icebreaker Invitational in Las Vegas. Connor Kurth had a hat trick for the Gophers, who face Omaha in the championship game tonight. Zach Erdahl, the former Badger, had two goals, including the overtime game winner for the Mavericks, who beat UMass last night. So it's Minnesota and Omaha in the title game. Notre Dame beat St. Lawrence last night. The Irish visit Clarkson tonight. And after a 3-3 overtime tie with American International last night, Ohio State has a 4-1 lead in the third period. Heartland, Wisconsin's Max Montez has his second goal of the weekend. You know, whether it's Boston College, Ian, or it's Lindenwood, every game matters. And when you're at home and you're playing an independent team in Lindenwood that won only six games a year ago, if you stumble, and we saw that with a tie last year against Lindenwood and a home loss to Alaska Anchorage, that costs you in the pairwise rankings, the computer formula that determines the NCAA tournament field, and the seeding. That bit the Badgers in the backside last year, and last night's loss could very well do the same, even though the bids aren't handed out until March.
Exactly. And, you know, for whatever reason, and I don't know, I can't tell you what an 18 or 19 or a 20-year-old is thinking, but they look at Lindenwood and go, they were god-awful last year. I don't care whether they're coming in here all bent to go out after us or whatever it is. We should be able to just put our skates on and go out and do it. And just in talking with Coach Hastings a couple times this week, he said that's been our biggest fear, is we just kind of tried to put lightning in a bottle again and get them all fired up to play. But I don't really know of any coach that can do that unless till the game starts.
Yeah.
And the part that I liked about it is the guys who didn't react to it and didn't do very well with it last night are now being substituted for, because he has young men who have worked really hard and have as their job as a coach. That was the best line he had in the whole interview. It's our job as a coach to give them the opportunity to succeed. And I think that's the greatest thing. It's also the hardest thing to do as a coach, to tell a young man who has played for you for 2 years, you're going to sit tonight so I can give this kid who worked hard all week in practice a shot. That doesn't go over real big with some of your veterans.
Well, sometimes you have to teach a lesson, though, and that's what he's doing. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. The Badgers and the Lindenwood Lions will set the line charts for you and have the opening faceoff about 10 minutes from now. This is Badger Hockey from Learfield.
In the game of life, every moment counts. Every decision matters. And every choice can make a difference between winning and losing. At Cleary, we understand the importance of a strong foundation, whether it's a gym, a community center, or a place for your business to grow. We build your dreams. So whether you're building a foundation or creating a legacy, your vision is our mission. Cleary Building Corp, since 1978. Explore clearybuilding.com today.
Badgers are born brave. They're not afraid to face a tough opponent or take on the impossible. At UW Health Carbone Cancer Center, our team of doctors take on cancer with that same Badger stamina. Where others step back, we step up, researching, treating, and defeating even the most complex cancers, making us the only NCI-designated comprehensive cancer center in the state. So now, from stadium to hospital, you can count on Wisconsin and UW Health to fight and win. UW Health Carbone Cancer Center. Remarkable.
Hey Badger fans, fall is here and you know what that means. Chilly days are just around the corner. Don't let the cold catch you off guard. That's why it's good to know the knowledgeable, friendly dealers at Bryan Heating and Cooling, who will do whatever it takes to keep your furnace running efficiently, no matter what the weather throws at you. Plus, score up to $2,600 in tax credits on qualifying Bryan systems. Ask about local rebates and financing for qualified buyers. Find your local dealer at Bryant.com. That's Bryant.com. Proud partner of Wisconsin Athletics.
Hi, it's Matt LePay, voice of the Badgers. On the field, the Badgers are always on the move. Off the field, that's where Evans Transportation comes in. At Wisconsin's 3PL, they move over 30,000 shipments a year right here in the Badger State. That's dedication to keep things moving here in Scotty. Evans is excited to support Badger student athletes and is a proud partner of Wisconsin Athletics. Find them at evanstrans.com. That's evanstrans.com. Go Badgers!
UW Health Sports Medicine, treating the Badgers, treating you. Our injury update brought to you by UW Health. The Badgers in good health. Simon Tassie, a little banged up in the third period last night, returned to action. He's in the lineup tonight. Healthy scratches this evening. Freshman defenseman Weston Knox and Jack Phelan. Freshman forward Luke Buss. And sophomore forward Owen Mellenbacher, who was minus three last night. Taking a look at the Quick Trip starting lineups, or the lineups in general, as we talked about, Ian, Mike Hastings, his four forward lines last night do not look at all the same as they as tonight. The top line features freshman Gavin Morrissey, 5'11", 185-pounder, had a goal and an assist in his Badgers debut, plus he won 9 of 13 faceoffs last night. He was fun to watch. Little left-hander, wears number 7, headsy-looking player. Doesn't it look that way?
Yeah, he's very unassuming. I guess that's the thing that gets me. But as soon as he gets inside the top of the circles, he starts to declare that, hey, let's do some magic down here. And he's so good with the puck. I was just so, impressed with when he's in tight in traffic, and 9 times out of 10, a forward's worried about how you're going to get your head knocked off by some 6'4" defenseman. He's always figured out where our open guy is. You know, his hockey sense down low below the top of the circles was second to none last night.
Yeah, Morris, he will center the top line. His left winger is Rylan Mosley, the Michigan Tech transfer. Scored a goal last night, had 8 shots on goal. And the right wing is Simon Tassie, the junior from Montreal. He was on the top line last night but didn't register a shot on goal. Noted the left wing on the top line last night. Quinn Finley, the sophomore from Suamico, is on the second line tonight with team captain Owen Lindmark, who did not have a shot on goal last night. Jack Horbach, the junior, another Naperville, Illinois native, second-line right winger. Christian Fitzgerald moves down to the third line, the junior from Coquitlam, didn't have a shot on goal last night. Kyle Kukinen, the junior from Maple Grove, had an assist last night in his Badgers debut. He's on the right wing. Ryan Botterill, the freshman from Portage La Prairie, Manitoba, on the left wing. He had 5 shots on goal last night. And then we heard Sawyer Scholl, left wing, sophomore from Medford. Tyson Dick, junior from Abbotsford, B.C., centering the fourth line. Cody Laskowski, the transfer from RIT, the fourth line right winger. And the extra skater is freshman forward Adam Pietola from Heartland, Michigan. Pietola last year with Youngstown of the USHL had 24 goals and 48 points in 61 games. Defensive pairs from last night remain the same. Zach Scholes with Anthony Kerr, Joe Palatichuk and Ben Dexheimer, Daniel Lodge, and freshman Logan Hensler, who had an assist and 4 shots on goal in his first goal as a Badger, first game as a Badger. And in goal is William Grama, 6'4", 213-pound sophomore from Stockholm. Last season played 4 games, 2-0-1, a 113 goals against, a .959 save percentage. He posted a shutout in his Badgers debut. His last start, though, was January 13th against Lindenwood. Grandma gave up 3 goals on 24 shots and a 3-3 overtime tie. Badgers ended up winning in a shootout. As for Lindenwood, their starting goaltender is Owen Bartoszkiewicz. The sophomore from Northville, Michigan last night stopped 34 of 36 shots in his Lions debut, the former Minnesota Golden Gopher. Defensive pairs include Aiden Yakimchuk and Sean Ramsey. Ramsey out of Toronto, a former Madison Capital. Yakimchuk from St. Albert, Alberta. He had 7 of Lindenwood's 20 block shots last night. You know, they just clogged the middle. And one of the reasons that Finley and Fitzgerald and Tassie didn't have a shot on goal is because they couldn't see the goal.
Yeah, half the time there was not 2, but 3, but 4 defensive players. They just back right in and build a snow cone right around the top of the crease in front of their goaltender. So, yeah, it was a great defensive effort, and I think the only way they're going to get around that is that going to have to start moving the puck side to side instead of taking a shot and trying to get a rebound, because they're going to get beat up if they try and get a rebound.
Lindenwood's captain is David Gagnon from Halifax. He had a couple of assists last night. He's the second line left winger with Drew Kuzma and Alex Lundman, who had the game-winning goal, the former Bemidji State Beaver. Their fourth line features sophomore Jaden Mercier, who scored twice for the Lions. So the Badgers and the Lindenwood Lions. Let's quickly pause 10 seconds for station identification, 10 seconds for a legal ID. You're listening to Wisconsin Badger Hockey.
This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
Wisconsin tries to even its record at 1-1. The puck drop is coming up. This is Badger Hockey from Learfield.
Farmers in Wisconsin have always been ahead of the times, and it's no different in the mid-1800s. George Esterly was running a large wheat farm outside of Whitewater, but reaping his crop by hand was back-breaking work. Esterly invented a mechanical harvesting machine and used it in his own fields in 1844. He then won a Chicago Mechanics gold medal 4 years later. But was he the first in the country to build a harvesting machine? The answer is coming up. Esterly followed up his win by opening a factory in the Whitewater area, building the harvesting machines and eventually other farms.